Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
And today we're talking about achieving balance of the body, mind, and spirit and taking calls for your questions today on air readings. And we do have a caller in the queue. I think what we'll do, Neil, is take the caller first. We do invite everyone that is listening and calling in to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. You can follow our show by clicking on the follow button under our profile name, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. You can also join us on Facebook and on Twitter. The Facebook accounts, I believe, and the Twitter account is linked also under our Blog Talk Radio profile. And there's two Facebook accounts, Neil Baker Psychic, as well as our profile together. So please do visit both. Like and follow. We would appreciate it greatly. Call a number today, 914-338-0164, and press 1, callers, if you'd like to speak with us. 562-596-7818 is the number for more conversation after the radio show. Okay, so let's bring on our caller from the 203 area code. Hi, who's this, please?
Hi, this is Shante.
Shante?
Yes.
Could you spell that for us?
S-H-O-N-T-E.
Okay, hi. And have we spoken with you before?
I don't think so. If so, probably like years ago.
Years ago. Okay, I can't remember if we've spoken with you before. But anyway, welcome. And where are you calling from, Shante?
Connecticut.
Connecticut? All right. And what is your birth date?
12/18/88.
Okay. 12, 22, and 16. 22 and 16. And she's a 38/11 too. And actually, I happened to write that down, but I wrote down 83 before she gave me the birth date. So Shante, I just got your karmic number is a vibration, and I'd written it down prior to your disclosing what your birth date was. So your karmic number is 38/11, and then that's reduced to a 2. So 2 is your master number. That means your life goes in cycles of 11 and 2. And there would have been a change. Actually, has she even 10, 11, 12? How old are you?
28.
So you're 10 years away from the age of 38, actually, Shante. So you haven't reached that point yet. What's your question today?
I'm actually looking to increase my finances, but no job opportunity has come yet.
Interesting. And, you know, her age, she's interspersed by an 11 in her month and day. So no opportunities. What kind of work? Should we ask that yet, or should we wait?
I mean, I work now, but it's not helping me financially.
Right, but what type of work are you looking for? Yeah, you got to talk louder, Shante. It's hard to hear you.
Okay. Actually, I'm not sure because now I'm nervous because I'm pregnant. So I don't know how to fit that in into my schedule.
Oh, you're pregnant. Okay.
Yeah.
And how far along are you?
early, not 2 months yet.
Okay, so you're early. And what type, so you're working right now, though, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What type of work are you doing right now?
Massage therapy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and being pregnant, that might be a little bit difficult to do when you're more pregnant, right?
Yeah.
And what's the situation with the father? Is that person you're in a relationship with?
Yeah.
Are you married or are you just boyfriend, girlfriend?
Boyfriend, girlfriend right now.
Okay. And do you live together? Does he support you at all?
I just moved into him, but soon we need to find a place together.
Okay. Well, Neil, what do you think about her job prospects? I mean, it's...
Well, first thing I'm getting, let's look at this kind of slowly at first, okay? So don't jump to any conclusions, because I got to figure out why I'm getting certain vibrations. Is there anybody in your family background or your family tree that could offer you work at this point in time? Is there any far-fetched idea of anybody within your family zone offering you work?
No.
Nothing like that?
No.
Had you ever worked for anybody in your family before when you were younger?
No.
So are you somewhat estranged from your family? Is there a little bit of a distance there?
Well, I moved from my house with my family to live with him.
Yeah, but what I mean is, are you in good standing with your family? Have you always been close to your family?
No.
Do they support you?
Not sometimes, but not really.
Yeah. Okay, so what I'm determining here is that some of the problem you're having in terms of getting a job has to do with the energy of family. There's a sort of disconnect. So what I've got to do is figure out why the energy of that is affecting your job situation, aside from the fact that you're pregnant and you're having a difficulty. You know, massage therapy and pregnancy may not be the best idea, because that energy that you do on people is going to the fetus. It's going to your you know,
right,
embryo.
You can absorb other people.
You
want to
be careful there. Energy. So the only, you know, you might be able to, are you looking for at least a modest price job? Is it okay for you to at least get some modest income?
The only thing is that because I'm early, I won't qualify for maternity leave, so it's making me, like, nervous.
You mean if you apply for a job now and you know you're pregnant, they won't give you maternity leave? Really?
I think you have to be with them for a year. I'm not 100% sure.
I'm sure it varies by company.
Well,
I don't know what the laws are in your state.
You know, this might, you know... There might be something regarding telephone work, like a dispatcher or somebody that works answering emergency calls or something like that. Now, do you have any interest or desire or ideas about that?
I haven't, but I'm not.
Doesn't that take some kind of, like, if your dispatchers take some kind of training?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You might want to... you know, just for the sake of it, what I'm getting, Shantae, is that maybe you might want to be employed as what I said, a dispatcher or something to do with telephone work or an answering service. It will at least lessen the challenges you would have as your pregnancy, moves through time here. And that's what I'm getting. Anybody in the family ever do any telephone work or any answering work?
No.
Okay. So what I'm getting is, Shantae, that probably you're going to be going on a different branch. We got to get away from kind of the family energy zone, because not just in terms of the thinking of the job. So what I'm getting in terms of your finances and getting some work, look for a variety of telephone work. And if that at least feels somewhat comfortable to you, then I would definitely encourage you to do it.
Okay,
Shante. Well, good luck. Let us know how what happens for you in terms of the job search.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. You know, she could do like hospital, like switchboard.
Yeah.
If you're thinking that medical field, because I think dispatch, like if she was emergency dispatch, it takes a kind of an intensive training and probably is not going to be really conducive to her pregnancy to go into a training.
But
I don't know.
The hospital is a good idea.
Yeah. Okay. So 303, press 1 if you'd like to speak with us, please. 303, because 303 is next. Okay. Doesn't want to speak with us. 856. Hi.
Hi,
is this Gwendolyn?
It is. It is. How are
Hi.
You today? Happy birthday.
Hi.
I'm going to check in. I don't want to take up a lot of time so other people can get there.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, 626-69, right?
Yes.
Okay, and she's a 39 equals 12 equals 3. All right. Go ahead. Sorry for that little gap.
I have a lot going on, and I have yet another court date on 10/26 that's coming up, along with a birthday of somebody that came in of 1/27/68.
Wait, I'm sorry. Okay, wait a second. The birth date, did you hear that?
6/26/69.
No. She's gives someone else's birthday.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Gwendolyn, can you talk right into your phone? Because you got louder for a minute, which was better, and then it faded out again. So there's something that's not connecting right with your receiver.
Okay, let me check it. I want to check on a birthday of 1/27/68. Like, I had a strong feeling with a 10/14, and I'm getting it with this birthday. And then I just want to see if there's any guidance. I have a 10/26 court date next month, which is going to make things get really real now. So between those two things right now, I'm keeping centered and balanced best I can. But if there's any guidance on those, I would really appreciate it.
Gwendolyn, does the 1/27/68 birth date have something to do with the court date, or is it separate?
No, that's separate.
Okay, so let's talk about the court date, I guess, first. And is that a relationship or something that you're trying to get into with the 1/27/68?
Yeah, it's possible. There's a strong kind of vibe there. It's like, you know, one of those tricks that the universe throws up my sleeve every now and again, and I'm just really feeling it on that date with that person. There's something up with that.
Well, you know, it's interesting, the 10/26 court date, actually her birth date holds it, because the 6, your month 6, has between the 6 and the 2, your month and your the first day, first number in your day, there's a 10. The 6 and the division of 4 is a 10, and then you have 26 that's actualized in your birth date. So that actually holds that 10/26 court date. So there's something karmic going on. What's exactly being settled there in the court?
I just got chills. I thought so. When I heard the court date, boom, my mind blew up with those numbers.
I can't. It's hard to hear you.
My mind, as soon as those numbers were said to me, like, it makes sense. And that's like affirmation right there. Like, I figure that it needs to come to a close, and I've been waiting on that. So I was a little like stunned by it, but at the same time, I kind of know those numbers.
Yeah, it's interesting. So what is being decided at the court date, Gwendolyn? Sorry, I almost called you a different name of someone else who's sitting in the queue.
On their end, it'll be as far as the monetary mess that was going on, just started hearing just some type of legal backing on that. I'm allowing others to finally do their job instead of me doing the job all the time.
So is this a divorce proceeding? Are you still involved in divorce proceedings, deciding like...
No, I've been done my divorce since 2010, and it's all about down to the finances of it all now. The thousands that I'm owed, the fact that it doesn't get done. So this judge needs to decide what he's going to do with that mess going on over there. I'm owed too much money. And,
well,
and my ex-husband needs to step up to that. It's not going to just go away, and I'm not going to allow that just to fall by the wayside.
But you're still involved in the divorce, like the arrangements not being fulfilled, essentially, is what's going on.
Correctly. Correct.
Okay.
The money situation, Gwendolyn, you know, I'm getting a little bit of a positive vibration that there may be a ruling in your favor, somewhat in your favor, regarding the monetary value of what you're owed. So I think, I may be wrong, but I think the judge might consider your argument and look at this in such a way that you'll be rewarded something. And you might be, it may not be everything you want, but you might be okay with the decision when you look at the total picture that at least you got something. So I think there's going to be a reward of some merit for you. In regard to that decision on the 26th of October. Now, if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. But as we speak, that's where the vibration seems to be going on that account.
Just was going to ask, is there a way, if they award you money, is there a way for them to enforce that it's actually paid, like attaching wages or something like that?
Well, that's it in a nutshell. It is enforcement. Initiating this particular court date, so it is their job to do just that. My job is to go there and make sure that it plays out and make sure that it's in my best interest.
I think, Gwendolyn, I think the scale's tipping slightly in your favor, so we have a little bit of ways to go before we get there, so we'll keep putting out energy for you on that account, and you know, hopefully it's going to be fulfilled.
So can I just say something about the birth date? You know, I remember, didn't you have, this person's a 7 that she's looking at. And so didn't you, I'm remembering, Gwendolyn, that a past relationship of yours was also a 7 and you're a 3. Am I remembering that correctly?
We had one where his reduced down to a 6. This one is slightly different. But it's a
Maybe I'm remembering wrong. I could be remembering it wrong. But anyway, I don't know. Neil, do you want to say something about the birth dates? I mean, 7-3 is a great combination.
Well, this is actually a pretty promising, this could be a very promising relationship for you. If that's what you're looking at, if you're trying to figure out if this could be romantic or it could be turned into a relationship, there's some promise here. You have a past life connection with him, and you have certain agenda towards it, not just being past life where you meet because of karma and you resolve it and then it's over. What you've got is the next stage also comes into operation, which would mean that this could develop into something pretty promising for you. I do get some sense of airplanes, like flight, travel, regarding if this relationship goes as far as it can, there's going to be a plane flight involved between the two of you. Now, that may not be apparent yet, because it shouldn't be. But if we get into something deeper and it goes on, you'll be going to Hawaii with him. Is he in
I'm far from her, too, because she's on the East Coast.
Yeah. Is he in any – is he financially stable?
He is.
Yeah. And is this developed into any kind of subtle romance yet?
Yes. You know, but I study the water, so I'm not trying to jump in too quick, you know, but I just the pull when he presented to me, I just felt it. It was that ease of a moment where it blurt right out and I just rolled with it, and I know I've been there before. I'm not surprised by this, what you're saying. It's like further affirmation, but I just said there's something under this, something about it. It's too easy.
Well, you know, it's not requiring the effort.
Yeah, what's making it easy is that there's a karma past life that will automatically open the door for the beginning stages of the connection. And that will go on for maybe a month or two. Within that time frame, either he or somebody around you will purchase a new car. There'll be somebody getting a car somewhere in the history of the events. And then somebody will, there'll be issues regarding a cat, C-A-T. And if you get it, if you get far enough to find those experiences happening, it doesn't have to be with him. It could be somebody within your social circle. Then you'll be able to tell that you and this person are getting closer to being more romantically involved. Also, somewhere along the future line, you'll see somebody or meet somebody named Tom or Thomas.
Okay.
And that might be another side indication that you're on the right track.
Okay.
The Tom or Thomas, you know, that this person has something to do with art, drawing, painting, something artistic. Again, it's a side plot. It's not the main plot.
Okay.
But it's a marker in the road.
Yeah. So it looks, you know, I think what we're getting, Gwendolyn, is a somewhat mild, positive approach to your question.
Can you please mm-hmm. let us know what happens after the court date? Check in with us afterward.
I will. Thank you both so much. Enjoy your day. Thank you.
You're welcome, Gwendolyn. Good luck.
Thanks.
I've been paging through as you were talking to her, trying to find the birth date of that previous person, but I was unsuccessful in locating it. Okay, so I guess my memory was not serving me correctly. 303, we're just reaching out here to see if you want to speak with us today. If not, we'll move on to the next caller, 860. Amy, hi.
Hello?
Hi. Is this Amy?
Hi. Yeah, how are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you? 12-16-73. Fine, thanks. How are you?
Cool. I'm doing better. Things are settled now.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good. So I actually have a few events coming up tonight, and then there's another one tomorrow, and then there's a welcome. I'm still, you know, I telling you about, you guys were mentioning about going to meetup groups and meeting people that way, and I found kind of like a niche of where I feel like I can meet people in my wavelength. Do you see that in the next couple of weeks with me?
You mean you're looking to meet people? You know, you kind of cut in and out. Did you hear everything she said?
Sure.
No.
Something about the expo.
We talked about groups, right? Remember that? Is that what you were saying? The groups.
Yeah, and groups, and even like somebody maybe I could meet as a potential relationship.
Romantic.
Yeah, you know, I'm a deep soul, and intellect is really important to me. I need a person I could talk to and all aspects of life. Yeah. So
sure.
I was just wondering in the next couple of weeks, because that's when this is all happening. These events.
You mean, are you going to meet someone romantic?
Yeah.
A romantic interest in the next couple of weeks?
Exactly.
Well, I'm going to let Neil
you
answer
know,
you.
there's a when I'm walking down this future path, and the name I'm going to mention has something to do that. I don't think that's the person, but I think that there's a side issue, and the name of the person is Michael, Mike
okay.
or Michael. And I don't know why when I'm walking down this path, this name calls out to me. When I address it, it doesn't feel like it would be the person you're seeking, but it does seem to be maybe a name that would be in the crowd or in the group.
This is kind of like Gwendolyn's Thomas.
Yeah.
Because that's the same situation. I don't know if you were listening, Amy, but.
Yeah.
But, you know, that seems to be a little bit there. Also, it's strange, but I'm seeing you wearing like, I don't know why, because this could be symbolic. You're like wearing a business jacket with a really pretty shirt underneath. And
oh.
the vision the vision's almost like a black jacket and a red shirt.
Well, she's doing presentations, right, at these expos. Is that what you're doing?
I do presentations. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So she's, well, maybe would you be dressed in that manner?
No, it depends, because some of these workshops, you know, I do meditations and I do, you know, physical movement sometimes. So sometimes I'm not wearing that, but it is, you know, it's
okay.
Let's look at this symbolically for a second. First of all, first step, do you own a black jacket and a red shirt?
Yes.
Do you even have that anywhere in your closet?
Yes, I have a black jacket. I just bought it. It was actually like a raincoat because fall is approaching. So, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, you know, there may be, costume and clothes are important. Of course, you know, the Academy Awards even award movies for costume design. So, you know, clothes are important. Not that they're, you know, go deep into your soul or anything, but when readings are being given, sometimes there are certain signs and symbols that come up, and you have to just kind of analyze them and think about them. Well, for some reason, this black jacket, now is also a red shirt. Do you own a red shirt anywhere?
No, I wear a lot of fuchsias, though. It could be into the red category.
That's close.
Okay, so there's going to be, with this person that you're going to meet, I think the colors represent formality.
That's okay.
I was thinking of formal. And
anality.
Yeah, formality. which probably links to the intellectual search you're looking for with the person, that there's going to be a higher discussion of ideas expressed. And
okay.
There's nothing more exciting than having ideas and romance mixed together. That's what makes relationships more fulfilling, when intellectually you also are romantically inclined. So I think it's coming up. You know, I don't know why we would be getting symbols of clothes coming in first. You know, you brought a jacket, black jacket for the rainy season. It could be that maybe the statement is that maybe in October you're going to be finding somebody. The first day of fall, I think, is next week.
Maybe he'll be undressing her. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, who knows? That's kind of where you want to go, I guess, with the romance. But eventually, but maybe not by October.
Before he undresses you, he needs to address you first. A before you, except if you're...
What did she said something? You were asking something, Amy?
Yeah, I was. Hold on. So I was just wanted to reiterate. So you were saying it might not be the person long term, but you were saying I might meet a Michael at one of these events.
Michael is not necessarily the name of the person, but it's a sign on the road that you're headed in the right direction towards the person you're going to meet.
Oh, okay.
You see, so like, you know, it's a signpost.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that answers your question. Also, have you done anything with a chair, C-H-A-I-R? Do you need to get a new chair? Did you do anything with a chair recently?
A chair. Oh my goodness, that's kind of metaphoric. It's I do yoga habitually, and I'm there 5 days a week. And we did a chair pose, and we had to do eight repetitions with a block between our quads, our thighs, and we had to do the chair. And it killed me. My tendonitis blew up. It just totally. And the next day, I was in so much pain.
Yeah.
So, I was just talking about
That's why I got chair. Now, the other part to that statement is in regard to our topic today, the balancing of energy. One of the parts of our discussion was going to be revolving around that people who do yoga, basically, that is the balance of imbalance. It's a way to present your body in such a state of imbalance that you find balance within, and it does take the body and mind. not the soul necessarily. You don't need the soul for this, but you do need the mind and the body. The balance of that concept would also include the soul or the spirit, of course, which some yoga masters use and some don't. But this fits into with our category. So, and you're having trouble in your thigh, which means that this actually, to stay on the symbolic side, you're having trouble with your thigh because you're having trouble with relationship, you see?
Oh.
So because the thigh is very close to the sexual organ. So you're having trouble there because there's probably some block between the first and second chakra that is causing maybe some irritation with the energy of finding somebody.
Which happens to be her month, 1-2.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah, that's on your karmic side. So that's, represents the first and second chakra.
So,
as far as clearing that,
yes.
I mean, obviously you're involved in meditation, you lead these meditations and you're in this, metaphysical lifestyle and you're instructing people, right? At these seminars and things like that.
Sure.
You're guiding
them? Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So in terms of unblocking
this.
Well,
we got a chair and you want a man. Maybe you need, and we got a woman. Maybe you need to find a chairman of the broads. You need to find a chairman of the broads.
God, between you and I today, the jokes. Yeah. Oh, boy.
No, seriously.
Oh, my God.
What you probably need to do is, there's tension there. Probably because you're looking for a relationship. You're wanting a relationship. So and then what happens in the body of the woman is that you kind of feel like, well, I'm bare, there's no activity. I want to ultimately find a man so that he can caress my thighs. He can be close to me. And so, and that's in relation to the mind too, because you're looking for an intellectual connection as well. So what you want to do is you want to talk to your second chakra and you want to say, you want to kind of loosen up the tension there. And that's why you're having a problem, I think. A mild one. It's not a serious situation at all. But that might help
to unblock, Amy. To unblock, Amy. And just, keep in touch. And like we say to everybody, let us know if there's anything that frees up, in October and something comes through after these next couple weeks.
Yeah, I have a really good feeling. I mean, this happened with the whole chair thing. It happened maybe a week and a half ago, and the block, what the teacher was trying to do was build up resistance. I don't do well with that. We had to literally pulse and squeeze into the block while I was in chair pose.
Yeah.
That's not cool for my body. No, I just knew. I'm like, I can't do this again. It's just, I knew it.
A good yoga master will say that there's never resistance. That resistance invites complacency. More you think of the word resistance, the more you loosen up so that your body can become fluid. You see?
Yes.
Because that's what
you
need to do.
That's very, very true.
That's what the instructor should be. If the instructor is guiding you into the process of resistance, I would question his mastership.
Expertise.
Because it's not resistance in yoga. It's complacency. It's flow. It's making the body do things that defy resistance. So the way that's why drunks never get, they always come out of the car crash okay, because they're so sloppy that their whole body moves with the accident. You want to put your body into a drunken state of being elastic.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. Of course, and I have to also listen to my intuition. For me, that just, I forced myself. Honestly, Neil, I forced myself to do that. And you got to also listen to if your body isn't ready for it, it's not ready for it. And so I got to listen. That was another testament, test for me that, listen to my body and it will naturally happen. The elasticity will naturally happen.
Olivia,
I've been practicing almost,
Olivia Newton-John totally agrees with you. Listen to
What'd
my
you say?
Body.
The toes?
Well,
Yes, I dropped. You're getting me. Right. I dropped a bottle on my toes like last. I don't know what. You're good. You're amazing. Yes, I dropped a bottle on my barefoot toes in the kitchen.
What?
The other day.
Yeah.
Did you say something about dropping a bottle?
Yeah, but I'll take credit for that. Yeah.
Oh,
no,
my God.
Right.
It was water, and I dropped it, and it killed me because it was in the fridge, and it was freezing cold. Oh, my.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So you want to listen to your body. Sometimes your body will be playful. And, having conversations with your body, sometimes there's always something deeper going on than what's the first statement. So, but yes, listening to it is very important. I agree with you, Amy.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It's so wonderful talking to you both. It really is. I love it. And thank you.
Well,
and I'll call you back.
We're glad to be here for you. And listen to your body is the message, I guess.
Absolutely. Relax more.
Yeah. Yeah, take good care. Okay.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, I would also suggest maybe to Amy to look into, I don't know, often I don't do yoga personally. You don't do yoga. But maybe if she goes to different classes, there are instructors that are less into the athletic. You know, it sounds like he has an athletic interpretation of yoga, which is...
Right. But I, you know, I didn't do, well, I don't have that kind of body, but I studied it and
right, obviously,
and,
you know,
blah, blah, blah. So
things
I
about
mean,
it.
Conceptually,
so.
Intellectually, conceptually, I understand.
Right.
It. I mean, you know, it's all, when we talk about this process of balance, then I know we have another call we want to get to, and we'll get to that. When we talk about this process of balance, you know, first of all, the mind and the body are two very important components. Ultimately, the position of balance is going to involve the soul or the spirit. And when the breath is comprised of both body, mind, and soul, then really you have your proper balance. It's hard to find balance in duality, because two points only make a line. It's, you know, I mean, having a balance in a line, what you need is that third component.
Right. So with the body and the mind, if there's no spirit involved, balance is going to be difficult.
If you really look for the ultimate goal of balance, yes, because it requires the utmost sense of consciousness to be able to be in control of your body and find balance of it, and yet to maintain that control and balance when you are outside of the body. My best route in that was astral projecting in a conscious state, where I was able to maintain my balance and consciously astral project at the same time, which gets into the area of omnipresence, where you can, you know, it looks like to all those others around you that you're consciously visible and
right.
involved, and at the same time you're traveling somewhere, you know, 100 miles away.
Well, and the magic of that, doing it at a reading, is that you're gone and back in an instant.
Yeah,
it's instantaneous. So you know, and the information that one is able to gather when in that state is
notable. That can be very helpful.
Okay, so let's bring on Allison. Hi.
Hi. I've been listening to the readings, and when Neil mentioned the word balance, it inspired a question for me, because that's the perfect word that I'm that's the perfect word that fits not only this time of year, you know, with the fall equinox coming up, but I'm going to be, I wanted to hear what he might have to say about, as I move forward in my life, I want to create balance among the three important factors, which is work, play, and solitude.
Work, play, and solitude.
Yeah.
And I can't remember, Allison. Are you born 314? What's the year?
15,
3:15. Oh, 3:15, sorry.
Eyes of March, yeah, 1957.
1957, but she's a 31-4, and it's interesting because your master number is a 4, which is the balance energy of the body. It's the heart chakra. So there's 3 above and 3 below the heart chakra. And your karmic number happens to be an imbalanced form of 4 because you have the 3 and then the 1. It's not like a 2-2 where it's split in half evenly.
Right.
So, and also that 3-1 shows up in not only her karmic sign, the first 2 numbers, but also her 1957 she's got. So balance is going to be a challenge for her.
Well, our first suggestion, Allison, is that conceptualize that work, play, and solitude. First of all, aside from the fact that we know they're separate, we already know that, but first conceptualize that they're not separate. That work is play, and that when you're working and playing, you can also have solitude. So first of all, make sure that they get to know each other in one circle. Because if you don't and you keep them apart, I have work and then I have play and then I have solitude. That's the typical human way. We work and we play and then we look for a place for solitude. But more than... Very few of us consider that they also work in unison with each other. So luckily, Chris and I, when we're working, we're playing. And we also, you know, there's a sense of solitude in that because solitude is also stillness. And the idea that you are an individual no matter where you are, no matter what's going on, that silent voice within you is always pounding. It's always there. So whether this is what makes life tolerable, this is what the great monks do, or people who are under extreme torture or pressure, when the examples get really intense and they have to group their energies together into one solitary moment. So if you conduct life in such a way that you say, well, here I have work, now I have to go over here and create play, and now I have to go into this room and have solitude, that's fine. But you're limiting the instantaneous moment that all three can be there at any given time. We're not minimizing the effect that they are separate and that they do have their separate places. But in the brain, in the mind of your soul, you need to also understand the concept of their togetherness.
Well, it's interesting, too, because it's a 3-in-1 type of idea, like a trinity, which is... it's her karmic number, 31.
Yeah.
Well,
so
can I pause? That actually, see, my question wasn't that, because I totally understand what you're saying already. That actually wasn't my question. I didn't get to finish my question, which is, what as a part of creating that balance, what I'm looking for how do I put this? That when for work. Paid what I call income time. I no longer want it to be the 40 hours a week, which eats up so much of my life, in order to support myself. What I would like is higher income for fewer hours.
Cool.
Basically, what I'm trying to create is a state of semi-retirement, so that I can create the overall balancing or what I would call sort of the trifecta of activities in my life. And that one-third of that time will be paid income that really supports me, but at approximately a part-time, what I would call a part-time or 20 hours a week type activity.
Can I ask a question? Allison, are you still moving? Are you in the middle of moving?
I'm not in the middle of it, and it definitely will not happen in the 1 month. I mean, and it will not happen by
October.
Now and October. No,
so
definitely
that was,
will not.
That was what we talked about on the last show.
No.
We had a sound problem on the last show, but it was like, I think what we told Allison is that she should move by October if she could because of the...
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It cannot happen.
But it's not going to happen. Well, it's hard. That's a fast... That's what I was saying on the last show. That's what I said.
Yeah, that's
it's not a lot of time.
way too
well,
fast.
You know,
this is a process, but the move is still on. It's just not going to happen. It's not a rush job. It can't be. It just can't happen overnight. So, but yeah, as part of the move is this crafting of this lifestyle that is underlying balance, which requires approximately a part-time job rather than full-time at a higher pay so that I can do these other, create this balance.
Well, I understand. The best approach to achieving your goal there would be that in the part-time work that has higher pay, you would be deriving it from your higher sense of consciousness, meaning that the job would, there would be some sense of passion in the job, some interest level.
Right.
It wouldn't just
right.
be something you'd be doing routinely and you kind of hate it, but it's making money, so you go and do it so you can have time for something else. So you want to make sure that your search includes the fulfillment of your interests in that capacity.
Right. I understand that.
Yeah. So in that case, Allison, you know, you're 60, and that is actually 60 is a very strong energy level. It starts to get into the idea of the third eye very strongly.
Mm-hmm.
Your master number is 31 equals 4, so you're going to be seeing a very strong energy level change at the age of 62. Which is
mm-hmm.
less than 2 years away.
Mm-hmm.
You're right now you are on a multiple of 4 by, of
mm-hmm.
course, 15.
Which is her levels.
Day. So you are going through this change. When
mm-hmm.
we talk about money, we get into the energy level of the number 8, which
mm-hmm.
your first and third numbers, and there's a 3-1, are 3 and 5. And that's an 8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that 8 really signifies that the job you find that grants you a lot of money in less time, that allows
mm-hmm.
you to really move forward, will be partially a revisiting of karma, meaning that it's going to come from a tribal energy that you've been through before. That means that the people you work with, you'll feel very connected and close to. And that, you know, I kind of, while I'm talking about it, I can almost sense it and feel it. But I think in the past life, it goes into some kind of American Indian energy. Now, that's not going to be in this lifetime, but somewhere
mm-hmm.
back there was the unit was very tribal and very connected.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something sacred about it too, Amy, so the symbol.
Allison.
Allison. So the. I'm sorry. So
I called someone else Allison because I saw her sitting in the queue today. So.
Yeah.
We're both messing
I'm
up
in
here.
The right
yeah.
You should have actually alphabetically. You should have called before Amy.
She did call before me, Amy, but she didn't raise her hand. So actually, it did happen. It did work that way.
So,
you don't see the queue.
So Allison, defining the job, it's going to be very sort of a community sense thing.
Just Allison, do you have any prospects for the job yet?
Or
any idea of what you want to be doing with that 20 hours to get more money than you're used to making now?
Yeah, I don't even know where I'm moving yet, so there's no reason to.
You're just kind of building this idea you're in the beginning stages.
I'm going to ask you a quick question, which you may be able to answer, maybe not. Have you ever worked in a school setting, a university setting, a school setting, at any way whatsoever?
When I lived abroad.
Yeah, didn't you live in Asia?
I'm sorry?
Didn't you live in Asia? If I'm remembering right.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And you wrote for a newspaper at that time.
No, I did not do any writing. Well, it's complicated. I did, well, I've done lots of editing,
okay.
Technically more editing, but it was actually really writing because the situation, just without going into the details, it was actually far more writing than I was given credit for.
Oh, okay.
Just editing, so.
Can you detail, so what did you do in the school that you worked in Asia?
I just did some tutoring, which is what a lot of foreigners do in other cultures. They just tutor English. For you know, kids and things like that.
I don't, you know.
It's very common to have that.
Yeah,
it doesn't
very
take
common.
Any, it doesn't
I don't
take any
know.
Particular, you know, degrees mm-hmm. or abilities even most of the time.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that serves as some sort of validation that you're going to be finding this job elsewhere, or maybe literally it means that to start looking in the university or school setting for any kind of work that might be appealing to you. That might be a possibility. I'm not sure yet, Allison, but I think that it's coming up as a sign for immediate conversation.
I'm not at all interested in being involved in the American education, quote unquote, educational system. I could not be less interested as a matter
what about,
of fact.
What about tutoring?
Well, I have done that. Again, that's part of what I did in my work living abroad, but it's very different doing it when you're in a foreign country versus doing it in this country. I have thought about it. I've thought about working I only like working with extremely highly motivated individuals, not groups as a whole, and certainly not lazy people. That would be what I would call maybe a private tutoring type situation. You know, where I've been hired by the parents or the
Is there an agency that you
student.
Can do that at, like private tutoring? Because then you're going to have to build your own business, which is, you know, it's
no,
just
it's
more
really
work.
Something. You might have to kind of do it as, you might have to kind of slog, do the shit slog for a while. Which I've done a lot of in my life in general. And again, at this stage, I'm really trying to craft a life that actually has reward for me for a change and that I enjoy as opposed to doing things that I've been forced to do. But to answer that question, usually you have to start off with, you know, working for a private, you know, so much of it is, it just depends on where you're living. It's not a pat answer. But generally, you have to pay your dues pretty steeply before you can really get your own clientele. If you want to go more the, you know, the more, you know, selected kind of.
Well, you know, Allison, if we're getting into the idea of tribal, and we look at maybe you tutoring people and getting, you know, going through the parents and all that, that's a separate tribal situation right there.
Right.
So our suggestion today is to start to investigate at least the tutoring aspect of it in alignment with your particular interest in tutoring highly motivated, intelligent individuals who are not lazy.
Right.
And that's what I think might be the first step towards actualizing this position you're desiring.
Yeah, it's something I've thought about. I have some mixed emotions about it, you can probably tell. It doesn't call to my heart, you know. I have the abilities to do it, but I really want to be writing again. I really want to be back in what I really love to do and really shine at doing. And that really gives me purposeful, like a sense of my destiny finally coming to fruition.
I agree. I think that we talked,
that's,
I mean,
I
believe that several shows ago I said, you know, what about writing? But you at that point said, well, I'm not interested in doing that again. So.
No. I've never said that. I just don't, there's no. That's what I'm born to do. So there would never be lack of interest. There's certain things within the broader field
of editing that I, newspapers that I'm not interested in going back.
You're not interested in that aspect. What kind of writing do you do?
That's a long answer. You don't have
time. Well, is it like just a short answer? Is it fiction, nonfiction, or journalism?
Well, I've done many kinds of writing. Well, my background is in journalism, so it's been more on that side of things. But my real passion is actually writing for myself, or writing what I would call writing books, which is what I'm supposed to be doing, supposed to be writing novels. That is what I'm supposed to be doing. And then as a, what I would call a sideline job would be going back into radio, which I absolutely, talk radio. I absolutely love talk radio.
Were you writing for talk radio?
No. I ran a board. I was a call screener. I was on the back end of it, you know, the engineering.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds like you have so much experience in this, the fact that your journalism degree, I'm assuming you had a journalism degree, is going to play into maybe getting into another radio job back end. Because, like, making money off novels right away is just not going to be easy.
No.
But at least you could maybe still write if you got into something like that part-time, you know?
Well, it doesn't pay well. That's the problem. And I have done radio, and it pays. It tends to pay close to minimum wage.
Really?
Oh yeah. In fact, there's a saying in radio: you don't go into it to make money. Now, of course, if you end up like a famous talk show host like Sean Hannity, then that's a different story. But nobody wants a job like that.
There's so many options. It just doesn't seem like we've narrowed it down.
Writing novels is to write novels. You know, you don't wait to write them. You're always caught in the fever of writing, and you work at it every day, and it becomes a part of your breathing apparatus. And we got to close the show. But ultimately, these are very powerful energies. And we put all the energy and prayer behind them for you, Allison. So keep in touch with us.
Yeah, I'll think about the tutoring thing. It's, you know.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. The higher goal is to write novels and to maybe have a talk radio show. Perfect. Then you're not, I'm older than you and I'm doing it. So just keep in there.
Okay, Allison, good luck.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye now.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. All right, we're back on the air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, and we will be discussing balance and in further detail. But we did a little bit with our caller, so that was good.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.